Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to our service of worship here today as we gather together to worship Almighty God. And once again, it is my prayer that you will be blessed and God will be glorified as we gather together to worship God. I have a couple of things by way of announcements to bring to your attention, some of which are on the announcement sheet and some aren't. I'll start with those that aren't. First of all, that is the Salzer prayer letter for December. Is available here in the church vestibule. So if you pray for the work of Sazra, can I encourage you to pick one of those up? Also, you will notice on, and we'll cover that in a second, but on the Christmas schedule, you'll notice that we have, over the Christmas period, there are a couple of services. We will be lifting a loose collection at the carol service, and indeed on Christmas morning. At the carol service, the collection will go towards Tear Fund, and on Christmas morning, the collection will go to Northern Ireland's Children's Hospice. So I would encourage you to be generous in giving towards those two important organisations. On Tuesday, the 21st of December, the Youth Fellowship will meet in the Bailey Hall over in Cairn Hall for what we're entitling a Games and Takeaway Night. So Tuesday the 21st for our young people at 7:30 p.m. in the Bailey Hall. And then when we come to our announcement bulletin itself, our youth club will be meeting this Friday evening, God willing, the 17th of December at 7 p.m. And then we will take a break for Christmas and the New Year. We will not be meeting on the first Friday in January, but only meeting once in January on the third Friday. I'd like just to remind our young people who are helping with that to turn up as early as they can beforehand to help set up for that. You will see our Christmas schedule there, I referred to a few moments ago. Next Sunday morning will be a family service. That'll be the Reverend Ken Nelson. I'm up speaking in Dromore and Drumquin. And there will be no Children's Church during this service. Sunday evening then will be our joint carol service here at 7:30 p.m. Then Christmas morning we have our joint service in Clogher at 10:30 in the morning. And the following Sunday, next Sunday, the day after, Sunday the 26th, we will have a joint service here in Glenhoy at 11 a.m. And then finally, with regards to COVID-19, for those of you who weren't out last week, there's been a slight tightening of restrictions in that whilst we were able to remove our masks while we were sat in the pews with the appearance of this new Omicron variant, the restrictions have tightened slightly in that we're asked to wear masks the entire time we are in the church, or indeed if you're in the hall watching us, those rules apply also. As always, can I ask you that if you test positive between now and next Sunday to let me know, and I will endeavour to let those who know who were sat in the close vicinity to you that they were in close vicinity without naming names. So just take a good look around you now to see who sat behind you and who sat in front of you. That if you have to tell me, all right, you have to phone me, I can then be in touch with those people. Those are all the announcements that I have. We're going to read from God's Word now, just to refocus our minds. When John the Baptist was born, his father Zacharias said the following: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his house and his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Let us stand to sing our opening praise, Joy to the World. Let us come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer, we give you thanks for this day, which, O Lord, we recognize that we are not entitled to. And therefore, it is a demonstration of your amazing grace towards us. We give you thanks for ordaining the Sabbath day to enable us to rest from our labors, to spend time with our loved ones, and to be blessed by spending time worshiping you. We thank you, O Lord, that as we contemplate your greatness and your glory, it reassures us that in you we have someone who is above us, behind us, beside us, and before us. You, O Lord, are not limited in understanding or ability or resources as we are. You do not diminish in any way over time because you do not change. You are not impeded by anything, for all things, including the laws which regulate this world and govern us, are subject to you. You are from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning or end. You know our tomorrows as well as our yesterdays. You know the side of us that few of any others see, as well as the public face we project to those around us. You know us better than our closest friends or family members do, for nothing about us is hidden from you. We cannot flee from your presence. We cannot hide from your sight, as your word declares. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where we strive to be seen by others, and yet we fail to recognize that not for one second of our earthly lives do we ever escape your gaze. In this world, Lord, we strive to be accepted by those around us, doing whatever we think is necessary to gain their acceptance. Would you, O Lord, accept us as we are when we simply accept that we need your forgiveness? You don't ask us to change before coming to you, simply to come by faith and to let you change us. Your Son, our Savior, did not die for our sins because we deserve your forgiveness, but because we need it. He did not die for those who are worthy in your sight, but to make them so when they trust in him. Heavenly Father, this world in which we live offers us temporary pleasures, whilst you offer us eternal riches. Heavenly Father, forgive us for forgetting such things. Forgive us for forgetting that we owe you everything and that you owe us nothing. Help us this day, O Lord, to gain a fresh understanding of who you are and all that you owe us, all that we owe you. Help us this day to lift your name on high and to bring you the glory that you rightly deserve. Hear this, our prayer, O Lord. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, can I encourage you to open them at our scripture reading, which is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We begin reading at verse 26. So it's Luke chapter 1, and we begin reading at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And we end our reading there at verse 38. Thank God for this reading from his truth. Now, boys and girls, can you bring up that next slide, can you? Can you tell me what it says on the screen there, Alexis? News, that's right. News. But have you ever wondered what that word means? What does it mean? For instance, if I said, "Have you heard the latest news about so-and-so or such-and-such?" Or if I said, "I have some news for you," what would I mean? Well, news is another word for information about something. So, for instance, if Ireland were playing England in the rugby, and you asked me what the score was, and I told you what the score was, then that is news. That's information that you have wanted me, or that you wanted to know. So that is the news, but there are different types of news, different ways for us to get the news. For instance, what's this here? Alexis? That's a newspaper, that's right. Now, this is only one of several types of newspapers you can get. Okay, but newspaper. And in here, you can read all the different types of news that has happened. And sometimes there's things in here that talks about news that is going to happen. Okay? So that's a newspaper. What about this? What do you reckon that is? Yes? Well, it's news about farming. There is farming in there. It's a magazine about classic tractors. Okay. People smiling down the congregation saying that man has an affliction. Okay. Okay, and then here you learn that there's news about old classic tractors, what people have bought and how they fix them up. And also in there, they tell you what price they've made at auctions, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so you see loads of things in here that I don't need and can't afford. Okay. So that's okay, and all the type of news. Now that's just two ways that we can get news. Okay, newspaper or magazines. But there are other ways. Can you think of any other ways that we can get news? What do you reckon? TV, thank you, well done. Anything else? Tablet, yes. Okay. Tablet or your computer. Or your phone. Okay. What about anything else? What always? Radio, well done. Anything else? The what? I didn't quite catch that. And there's other, what about from other people? Okay, people come along and say, did you hear such and such? Have you heard the latest? Okay. They can phone you up or they can come round your house. Okay. And tell you all those bits of news, what's happening in the countryside, etc., etc. So there are lots of ways by which we can get news, depending, of course, on the type of news that you want. Okay? There's news we get that can be about things that have happened, or that are happening, or have yet to happen. Okay, I made announcements this morning about the youth fellowship meeting on the 21st. I made announcements about our youth club meeting on the 17th. That's all news. That stuff is yet to happen. Okay. There's also bad news, which can make you sad or indeed angry, or good news, which can make you really happy. Like when you get told that you're going to get that toy you've always wanted for your birthday. Okay. Is that not good news? Now, the reason I'm talking about news today is because in our Bible reading, we read about how a young woman called Mary was visited by an angel called Gabriel. And Gabriel told Mary some news that was really, really good. The news that he told her was that God's plan to fix the problem of sin in our lives once and for all was about to happen. He told her that she was going to have a baby boy who would be the Son of God. He was to be called Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Jesus came into this world as a baby to grow into a man, to die for our sins upon the cross. And he did so that all who could ask him, that all who ask him to be their Savior can have all their sins forgiven. So you see, that news is the best news that this world has ever received. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he came into this world to do. We thank you, Lord, for that first Christmas when that news was first released to the world. And here we are all those years later still talking about it. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful news. And help us, O Lord, to hear this news, to heed this news, and to accept and receive Christ as our own personal Savior. Amen. We're now going to sing our next praise, which is As With Gladness, Men of Old. Let us come before God in prayer once again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we unite our hearts in prayer once again, we take this opportunity to remember the persecuted church in Pakistan, where, O Heavenly Father, the country's blasphemy laws are being used dishonestly to persecute Christians. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who find themselves being unjustly accused of blaspheming the name of Allah, of speaking disrespectfully about the Prophet Muhammad, or of mishandling the Quran by opening it and then leaving it open, which non-Muslims are forbidden from doing. When accused of such things, people are often savagely beaten, and their property and possessions are destroyed by an enraged mob of fundamentalists. Heavenly Father, they are also often arrested and given a lengthy prison sentence, because even though the authorities know they are innocent, they fear being accused by the fundamentalists of defending blasphemy. And sometimes, O Lord, whole Christian communities are attacked and have their homes and property destroyed because someone in their midst has been unjustly accused of blasphemy. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would raise up strong, courageous leaders in Pakistan at both local and national level who can put an end to the misuse of the blasphemy laws by people who simply want to destroy someone's reputation or acquire their property. We pray that this dishonest practice will be stamped out and that people who attempt to unjustly accuse others of blasphemy will themselves be held to account. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ living in such a toxic environment. May you protect them, and may you give them the grace, courage, and strength to endure, we pray. Here in our own country, O Lord, we once again find ourselves in a worsening situation with regards to COVID-19, with the emergence of this new Omicron variant of the virus. Heavenly Father, whilst our government is guilty of rampant hypocrisy with regards to not obeying the rules they've put in place, may we not use this as an excuse for flouting those rules ourselves. Help us, O Lord, to keep in mind our overworked and exhausted NHS staff and community care workers who will bear the brunt of our foolish actions. Help us to put their needs above our wants, and so to abide by the protocols that are in place. And finally, Lord, we once again remember those from this congregation and in the wider community who are currently unwell. Once again, we ask, Lord, that you would restore their health and their strength, and that you would reassure them and their anxious loved ones at this time. These things we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. The story of Mary being visited by the angel Gabriel to tell her that she had been chosen by God to conceive, give birth to, and raise Christ is central to the Christmas story. So it is well known. But as you have often heard me say, our familiarity with well-known sections of Scripture can sometimes mean that we miss the main point or points that the writer intended to make when he wrote it down. And so it is with this one. So I want to spend a few moments this morning looking at this well-known Christmas story to see what its author Luke tells us and why. This part of the Christmas story begins by telling us that it occurred 6 months after this same angel had appeared to an elderly priest called Zechariah and told him that his wife, who was not so young either, and had not been able to have children would become pregnant with a boy, and they were to call him John. He also told Zechariah that John was to be the man chosen by God to prepare the way for the Lord. So it is these verses which, if you like, set the context for what follows. They prepare us, the reader, for what Luke tells us in verses 26 to 38, wherein we learn two valuable things about Jesus. And the first important thing that we learn here is that the nature of Christ's conception. It is the nature of Christ's conception. Mary, we are told, was a young woman, probably still in her mid-teens, who was pledged to be married to a man called Joseph, and in accordance with the custom of the time, she was still a virgin. A point which is emphasized three times in this passage alone. So when Gabriel informed Mary that she was going to become pregnant and give birth to a son, whom she was to call Jesus, it is no wonder that Mary said what she did when she asked Gabriel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Mary may have been innocent in a worldly sense, but she knew enough to know that virgins do not conceive and give birth to children. She may have been engaged to Joseph, but she had not slept with him, nor would she do so until the period of betrothal, which was usually a year during which the girl continued to live with her parents, was over. So humanly speaking, what Gabriel told Mary did not make sense. And to answer her logical question, Gabriel went on to tell her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And with those words we learn that the conception of Christ would be the work of God's creative power. The Creator God, who formed this world and brought forth light from darkness and life from nothing, would bring forth life in Mary's womb. The child that Mary would bear would be conceived by divine decree. Let there be life. This child that would be conceived in Mary's womb, whom she would carry for 9 months and give birth to, was none other than the Son of God, God in the flesh, God with us. As the words of the popular Christmas carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Say," veiled in flesh the Godhead see, heal the incarnate deity. This information about Christ's divine conception tells us that, as hard as it is for us to get our heads around it, from the get-go, Christ was truly God and truly man. Jesus was not simply born as a human without his divine nature, and then as he grew up, he was endowed with it. His divinity was not something that he lived without for a number of years until his heavenly Father bestowed it upon him. From that moment, from the moment of his conception, Christ was truly God and truly man. On the one hand, he had the full divine authority of heaven, whilst on the other, with the exception of sin, he was subject to the frailty of mankind. As a man, Christ knew what it was like to be hungry and thirsty. He knew what it was like to grow tired and need sleep. He knew what it was like to feel physical and emotional pain. When he saw the sorrow of Mary and Martha after the death of their brother and his friend Lazarus had died, Christ wept. When he saw the hardness of heart and unbelief of God's chosen people, he wept, because he knew the consequences of their unbelief. As a man, he knew what it was like to grieve for family members. His own earthly father, Joseph, was dead before he assumed his earthly ministry. Christ knew what it was like to be ridiculed and rejected by others. He knew what it was like to be disbelieved or misunderstood. He knew what it was like to be let down by close friends, to be deserted in his hour of need. He knew what it was like to be betrayed by someone close to him. He knew what it was like to have lies told about him, to be unjustly accused of wrongdoing. Christ knew what it was like to be tempted, to be enticed by Satan to reject God's way and to do your own thing, and he knew what was required to resist such temptation. Simply put, Christ knew what it was like to live as a follower of God in a world completely opposed to him. That is why Christ is the perfect Savior. As the Son of God, having never yielded to temptation and sinned, Christ could make the perfect sacrifice required by God to atone for sin. As the Son of God, he became sin for us and faced the full fury of his Heavenly Father's wrath, so that all who trust in him can have all of their sins forgiven. And having ascended into heaven, where as our great high priest he intercedes for us, having been truly man, he can identify with all that afflicts us. In this world, people struggle, or may struggle, to understand our feelings, but Christ doesn't. We can never come before Christ burdened with a load of care and find that he doesn't quite get it. Having been truly man, he can identify with our fears, with our sorrows, our anxiety, or whatever it is that pains us. And having been truly God, he can atone, he can pay the price. He paid the price for our sin. He can atone for our sin. The nature of Christ's conception is important to bear in mind, because it's only when we accept that we can understand the second important message about Jesus that Luke tells us here in this passage, and that is the nature of his ministry. The nature of his ministry. In verse 32, we are told that having informed Mary that she would conceive and give birth to a son and told her what to call him, Gabriel then said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That proclamation is filled with symbolism that Luke's early readers would have picked up on, but which we can easily miss. The Son of the Most High is simply another way of saying the Son of God. Therefore, it describes someone with a special intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. The throne of David is a reference to ancient Israel's most revered king, that is to say David, whom God had promised to establish his throne forever. And the house of Jacob is another way of referring to Israel, so in effect it refers to God's chosen people. Therefore, when we consider this proclamation, we can see that it describes Christ as the long-awaited ruler and redeemer of God's people, otherwise known as the Messiah. So Jesus is the one first spoken of in Scripture when, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God, and God had said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." That verse in Genesis 3:15 speaks of antagonism between people and snakes, which is symbolic of the struggle between God's people and the evil one. But it also proclaims that the offspring of a woman would achieve complete victory over the evil one. He would crush his head. Jesus, the Son of God, born of a woman, was the one to do this at Calvary. So you see, Jesus was not just a very gifted teacher who could enthrall crowds of people with what he taught and how he did so. He was not just someone who had an amazing gift of healing that he used freely whenever he met an afflicted person. He was not just someone who was so nondescript that you would not ordinarily notice him amongst a crowd of other people, but yet when he spoke to you, you never forgot him. Nor was he just a model human being who treated people with respect and dignity regardless of their status or background. He was not just someone who had a genuine compassion for people, someone who reached out to those society had discarded and touched those no one else would. He was not just someone who could restore hope to the hopeless or joy to those who had long since forgotten the meaning of it. He was not just someone who had immense patience with others or who had a tenderness towards people that was breathtaking. He did not just lead such an exemplary life that it serves as a template for others to follow. Neither was he just a helpless victim of one of history's biggest miscarriages of justice when he was arrested, falsely accused, and put to death by jealous, misguided religious leaders. Those leaders were looking for a king to establish an earthly throne to give them an earthly peace free from foreign domination. But they did not understand that because of their sin, they were the enemies of God. They did not understand that the victory Christ came to achieve was not over an earthly kingdom, but rather over the kingdom of darkness. They did not understand that the peace which Christ came to establish was between sinful man and a holy God. And the only way to do so was to sacrifice himself, to lay down his life, to stand in our place, to take our sins upon himself so that all who trust in him can be reconciled to God. Luke records this information about Christ so we can make sense of the cross. So we do not see it as a failure of Christ, but as his means of victory. If the baby born to Mary all those years ago had not been truly man and truly God, then he could not have fulfilled his role as God's Messiah to free mankind from the grip of sin and death. But thanks be to God, he was and he did. And that is why Christ is the greatest gift anyone can receive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we struggle to understand the reality of your Son and our Saviour's conception and the nature of his ministry. Heavenly Father, you declare this wonderful news to us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that Christ did when he was on this earth and all that he does for us now. Help us, Lord, not to forget this wonderful truth. Help us, Lord, not to reject the gift of salvation which Christ offers all who come to him. Amen. We're going to stand to sing our closing praise, Once in Royal David City. is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, now and forevermore.